Welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Tuesday, March 24th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Thanks for tuning in again today. What we have on tap, we're going through the top five pitchers in Twins history this week. So yesterday we had Mr. Johan, the most dominant pitcher in Twins history and the best, in my opinion. Today, I think, you know, the guy we're going to talk about today, his perception and view has gotten distorted because of his post-career, not antics, but his post-career mantra and career after his baseball career, and that's Bert Blyleven. So we're going to talk about Circle Me Bert today, and I also want to talk about my exchange on MLB The Show. I said, if you look at the hours that I've been spending on the show, it would make your eyes pop. Just, you know, pajamas, drinking lemonade and Fresca and playing the show on my my PlayStation basically all day is what I've been doing during this quarantine period, or during this social distancing period has been the hot phrase. So last night I play someone called the St. Paul Bombers or something like that, the St. Paul something. So I knew they were from Minneapolis as well. I'm like the Minnesota Walkers because my last name's Walker. But I'm playing a fellow Minnesotan, and you know, we're late in the innings and we're tied up, and their pitcher's coming up, so they pinch hit Max Kepler. So I bring in Taylor Rogers, and then they pinch hit Nelson Cruz because they want that lefty-righty matchup, and then I'm going to bring in Sergio Romo. So we had a fun Twins-Twins exchange last night, just showing off the Twins players on our rosters, but I do find it difficult in Diamond Dynasty to not load my team with Twins. So go over to Twins Daily. They're doing some awesome simulations of seasons on the show, as well as with analysis. And our fantasy draft, our Twins Daily Fantasy Draft, is also going to be out there soon. Follow me at NashWalker9. I've been posting a lot of videos on Twitter of just Twins highlights and all things Twins all the time. Also on @LockedOnTwins for the show Twitter account as well. So yesterday we talked about the cancellation of the season and what that would mean for the Twins a little bit more, and how that impacts the Twins, a team that is veteran heavy and went out this offseason and really worked hard to put veteran presence on their club, put guys that they think could help in October, especially guys like Rich Hill and Tyler Clippard, who have October experience and have pitched on the big stage and can do well there. Clippard was on that Astros team in 2017. I don't think he ever pitched, actually. But these are guys that have been in the league for double-digit years. And Josh Donaldson, you know, a veteran who's basically won the division on every team he's been on. It's just a winning guy who is going to take you into the postseason with a different feeling and a different sense among the squad because of his, you know, his aura and the way that he does his work. So they did a lot this offseason and have done a lot to surround the team with veterans, surround their young core with veterans, to try to go for it with this core. And I talked about yesterday, I don't want to get too down, because I preface this by saying this team is special. This team is very good, and a canceled season would hurt them, but they're going to be back in 2021 if that's the case. A suspended season or a delayed season into July or August will hurt the Twins. There's no doubt about that. But they're also a very, very good team, and I have confidence that they can come out and play whenever and win games because they've proven that they can win. They won 101 last year. I think their longest losing streak was 4 games last year. And yes, last year was a little bit of a magical season. Not everything went right. I've said that on the show before. But I trust this team and their ability to go out there and win on any given day. And I also trust that no matter what, they're gonna play hard, and they're a very talented club. Whether we play 162, 140, 150, whatever it might be. And also, I want to talk a little bit about what I think the minimum number of games should be rather than just should they scrap it. And I'm open to interesting ideas of should we have a big 16-team bracket after a 50-game season and play a deep postseason in October. I'm open to things like that. I think it gets a little bit wonky, and then there's that asterisk next to not only World Series winner but division winner and records and winning percentage. I think it just makes it a little funky. I'm open to things like that if they were only able to play like 50 games. But I think 100 or more, you just do regular. I think you just play the schedule forward and play into the postseason as you regularly would. But I'm open to things like that. I think the minimum number of games is probably 100 for me is a good number before it gets a little bit crazy, a little bit wonky, and I'm not crazy about, you know, I'm open to it, but I'm not. I'd rather not. I think we'd all rather not do like a creative 16 team postseason bracket. I'd like to see them try to get 100 games in, but that's, you know, out of anyone's control really at this point, including Major League Baseball. So, you know, every day we're going to talk about when baseball could be back, and every day it seems to be getting worse as far as the coronavirus pandemic. We're seeing numbers just through the roof for the United States, and this is because of increased testing as well. But, you know, the president has said that he wants to get things going soon. I don't know what that bodes for baseball or if that's going to actually happen. But we're going to continue to speculate because that's all we can do at this point is talk Twins history and speculate on when baseball is going to be back. It's going to be back soon, and we can trust that the Twins are going to be strong when it comes back. The second best pitcher in Twins history after this reading from Withings. Do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they're still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus is the best overall smart scale in 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step on and get data from every weigh-in. It'll sync automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you, but Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off a Withings Body Plus scale right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, withings.com/MLB to get 25% off your Body Plus body composition scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off your Body Plus body composition scale. So more season speculation for you there, or when the season will start, rather. I want to talk about the second best Twins pitcher in my mind in Twins history, and he could be argued as number one. And I think the deeper you look at his career, the more you're impressed is Burt Blyleven, in that, you know, he's been the color guy for the Twins for a long time with Dick Bramer. A lot of people harp on him, and he's been losing a lot of games every year as far as his assignments go, because he's known for saying things like, oh, you know, back when I played, it was so much more pure. The game was more pure. The game was better. And things along those lines. I don't think he says that verbatim. I want to be fair to Burt Blyleven. But I think his old school mindset, something he can't control because he pitched in the big leagues for a long, long time when baseball was very different and had a very successful career in the big leagues. So I don't know if it's necessarily something he can control, is that he watches the game today and he kind of comes across as being kind of crockety about the game today. But, you know, Circle Me Burt's one of the most iconic things in all of baseball as far as broadcasting goes. You know, holding up the sign, Circle Me Burt, and Burt will circle you on the screen. I don't know if he does it anymore. I haven't seen him do it in a long time. But Burt Blyleven, the color guy for the Twins, was also a phenomenal pitcher for the Twins, and we can't forget about that. So let's talk about his pitching career. He is first in Twins pitching war with 49.1. Second in innings pitched, he threw 2,566 and two-thirds innings for the Twins. He's fifth in OPS plus 86, so on average in an average Burt Blyleven Twins season. Hitters had an OPS that was 14% below average against him, and he's third in ERA plus in Twins history at 119. So in an average Burt Blyleven season, he was 19% above league average at giving up runs. So he was great. He's third in ERA plus with 133 and strikeout percentage at 20.3% from 1970 to 1975, all those years with the Twins, behind only Tom Seaver and Palmer. So, you know, third best pitcher in the league, basically from 70 to 75, high strikeout rate, great ERA plus. And then from 1970 to 1976, so if you include 76 as well, before his trade to Texas, he started 225 games for the Twins, threw over 1,700 innings, had a 280 ERA, 132 ERA plus, which is outstanding, 7.4 strikeouts per nine, which in that time was very good as well, because his strikeout rate, 20% today, would be kind of lukewarm from 70 to 75, but back then this was substantial, and then only 2.3 walks per nine. And then he came back to the Twins because he got 9 years later, he came back to the Twins, got traded from Cleveland, started another 120 games for the Twins, pitched another 860 innings, was much worse, 4.22 ERA, still above league average on in an average season from 85 to 88 with 103 ERA plus, less strikeouts, 6.6, couple more walks, 2.5 per nine. But in the 1987 World Series or ALCS, he was 2-0 versus Detroit, 4.05 ERA, and the Twins upset the Tigers in 87 and then started games 2 and game 5 in the 1987 World Series against the Cardinals, had a 2.77 ERA with 21 strikeouts and 5 walks in 26 and one-thirds innings. So he was great in the World Series in 1987, big part of why they won it, started game 2 and game 5. His best Twin season, Burt, was 1973. He started 40 games through 325 innings. Just unbelievable. And I also don't know how we can look at that and say that's not incredible. You know, guys weren't, he didn't throw 95, so it's easier to throw 325 innings and stay healthy, but that's still outstanding. 252 ERA. His 156 ERA plus led American League. 232 FIP, fielding independent pitching, led all of baseball. And his 385 strikeout to walk ratio led the American League. He had 258 strikeouts, only 67 walks, and he had 9.7 wins above replacement. That led baseball, and that's the most in a single season in Twins history. So let's not forget how good Burt Blyleven was and why he comes in at second. I think it's hard to, because he has such a track record with the Twins, and Johan never got to pitch past his 30th birthday, really, for the Twins after going to the Mets. So it is difficult to put Johan above Burt, I think, because Burt was really good. And I also think there's some bias there because of the way that he calls games or the way that he does color and that he kind of rips on the game today. But he was a really, really, really good pitcher. And that's why he's first in Twins WAR and in Twins pitching WAR. He's one of the best pitchers of all time. He's a Hall of Famer, one of the best pitchers of all time in the franchise, that is, and is in the Hall of Fame. So I think by the time my article comes out on Friday, am I going to have a change of heart? I absolutely could flip Burt Blyleven and Johan Santana. I just think Johan was so dominant for four straight seasons, basically, from 2004 to 2007 when he had a 289 ERA, 155 ERA plus. So if you look at, this is kind of the difference for me. From 70 to 76 for Burt Blyleven before his trade to Texas, and albeit those are a couple extra years, he had a 132 ERA plus, so 32% above league average. For Johan Santana from 2004 to 2007, he had a 155 ERA plus. So he was substantially better than Burt Blyleven was compared to the rest of the league, 23% better basically than Blyleven was compared to other pitchers in the league. Also, the Cy Youngs really do it for Johan Santana as well. I think it's hard to not look at those in 2004 and 2006, also when he got MVP votes, and not think that that's worthy of being the best Twins pitcher of all time. Burt was seventh in Cy Young voting in 1973 in that phenomenal season he had. It was an all-star and finished 26th in MVP voting. And then in 1985, he for Cleveland, after he got traded to the Twins, he finished third in Cy Young voting, 84 in Cleveland, finished third, but that's not with the Twins. And then finished fourth when he was in California at the end of his career. Had kind of a resurgent age 38 season where he had 2.73 ERA. But Burt Blyleven never won the Cy Young for the Twins. But in 1973 was an outstanding pitcher with a 156 ERA plus. Still, compared to Johan's best season, that's not. Johan had a 182 ERA plus, led all of baseball. So that's why Burt's second and Johan is first. Tomorrow we'll have number three. I'm going to have to think about it a little more as well. Leaning towards one guy, and we'll talk about him tomorrow. Thanks for listening today. Have a great day. Hope you and your family are well, healthy, and happy. Have a great day. Go Twinks.